Why can't Kentucky seem to hit the clutch shot anymore? We're going to talk about that today on the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Stefaniak, joined as always by my co-host, Carson Nash. Carson, late night last night watching the Super Bowl. How are you?
I'm doing well. And like I said last podcast, don't bet against Patrick Mahomes.
You did say that, but you did bet on Travis Kelce to score a touchdown, which did not happen. Any comment on that?
Yeah, it was the last leg of my parlay. A little disappointed there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that wall you broke is going to be more than you would have made on the parlay. but, you know, we're going to talk about today just what's going on. We're looking big picture today. We'll talk for a couple minutes about Ole Miss at the tail end. We're not really going to kind of talk about what happened against Gonzaga. We are and we aren't. But today's a big picture episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. Carson and I talked, and there's just a lot big picture-wise to be concerned with in different stats, different numbers. Now, we both want to add the caveat that we are obviously riding with this team. We're not hating on this team. We love this team. We are not saying fire Coach Cal, none of that. But we are going to talk about issues because issues have to be discussed. And the first issue that needs to be discussed is, to me, that play call at the end of the game was atrocious, I thought. Atrocious. Now, it could have been a bad decision by Reed Sheppard. But still, I think putting him in a position to have to make a tough call like that, I would have given the ball to a dude with the arrow and said, put your head to the ground and go to the hole. That's what I would have said. That's what everyone was saying in the press box. I mean, after that play call, or after that play, everyone in the press box was just like, what just happened? And, I mean, it was frustrating. So, Carson, I know you've got some numbers when it comes to clutch shots, you know, last-minute games, last-second shots for this Kentucky team over the last few years. Hit us with those numbers and your thoughts on all this.
Yeah, so on Twitter, I think it was Stephen Peake who posted
it. Okay, sorry.
So credit to him. But since 2020, we've had 30 chances to tie the game late in the situation or to win it. We are 3 of 30 in those situations. Only 3 made shots. I just don't understand how it gets to that point and what needs to change in those instances. And one thing I was thinking, and we didn't really do a deep dive into it, but when has Cal called a timeout and when has he not called a timeout in those situations, you know?
That was a conversation in the press box as well. We were like, please call timeout. Please call timeout. Just call timeout. You know, and I'll tell you this, and we're going to get more into that, but this comes down to coaching, in my opinion. I mean, now, Carson, did you watch the video again? And look at those. Mm-hmm. Did you see what I was saying? I was telling Carson about half an hour ago on the phone. I was saying, if you watch that video of the last second shot attempts, it seems like early on the looks were better, and then progressively through the video, the looks get worse and worse and worse. And I'm like, what is going on? I mean, this year, Kentucky's looks last second have been awful. I mean, the Reed jacking up the three against Kansas. Whatever occurred against Texas A&M where DJ dropped the ball when Rob threw it to him. Whatever happened the other day against Gonzaga. I mean, the look.
Reeves falling down against Florida.
Yeah, I mean, nothing has. I mean, yeah, you know what? That one's one, too. No one's talking about that. After they hit that three to tie the game, wasn't there like 5.6 seconds on the clock?
There was enough time
to get the ball up the floor and get a look at something.
There was enough time to advance the ball and then call a timeout and get some set situation to where you can get an open shot. Instead, we hand the ball into Reeves. He runs up the court, falls over himself, and gives Florida a chance to shoot the ball at the buzzer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think some folks on that play were like, well, I mean, it was just a half-court heave. It didn't have to be, in my opinion. That did not be a half-court heave. Yeah. So, I mean, and this, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we want to continue to beat the drum down on this. We are not saying get rid of Cal. We are not doing that. It's not what we were saying. But there have been a lot of coaching decisions that I think we and a lot of Big Blue Nation disagrees with. And they need to be discussed. And these last-second shot opportunities have just been frustrating. I mean, they've been Kentucky not finding a way to hit these clutch shots. You know, Mike, who did the Big Z episode with me that y'all might remember, Carson, obviously knows Mike, unfortunately. And, you know, he kind of brought up a point. He was like, early on in the Cal's career, it seemed like everything fell. Every one of those last second shots fell. And then something just a flip switched, and none of those shots are falling. And, I mean, here's the deal. You know, and one more, I don't want to get your thoughts on this, Carson. We talked about this on the phone earlier too, but nothing frustrates me more than these comments. Okay. So if you feel this way, I'd love comment and let me know why. I'd love to have a conversation about it. You know, it's open to interpretation, but the whole, well, Cal can't rebound. Cal can't go out there and defend the pick and roll. Cal needs to coach them the week before the game to rebound and defend the pick and roll. This is not, nothing makes me more mad than that, in all honesty, Carson. I mean, do you agree there? Do you agree with
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Nothing makes me more mad than that statement. And if you feel that way, I mean, I'm not going to yell at you, just probably a little bit. But, you know, this is what he gets paid millions of dollars to do, is to make sure they can rebound and to make sure they box out and to make sure that they can defend the pick and roll.
And to make sure he has the best possible players on the floor to have those outcomes.
Thank you. Go ahead and hit us with what you're talking about, Carson. Hit us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure everyone probably noticed, because his presence is felt when he's on the floor. But Rob Dillingham only played 4 minutes in the second half against Gonzaga last game. And piggybacking off of how many missed shots we've had in clutch situations. And we knew the game was going to be close at halftime. We were down. We knew it was going to be a close one at the end. You cannot tell me that sitting your best player for 16 of those 20 last minutes is the best possible lineup you can have on the floor. You can't convince me that way. And I get, right? Rob might be a little bit of a defensive liability.
Yeah.
He might be. So is Stephen Curry. So is Trae Young. And I'm sure that the Golden State Warriors would have Steph Curry in there in the last 4 minutes of the finals. Like, he would be on the court no matter if his guy's getting a bucket every time. It's Steph Curry. So it's really frustrating when you know that we've been struggling late game situations and stuff like that. Because honestly, if Dillingham was in the game, I would have been fine with any shot he would have put up at the end of the game, just because he's that much of a difference maker. And he's our bucket getter. He's got the clutch gene. He's our difference maker. He can get a bucket whenever he wants. And I just don't understand why he is not on the court in that situation.
It makes less than zero sense. I mean, you know, I think the thing about Calipari that needs to be discussed is, I mean, I'll take him 1v1 in a recruiting battle with anybody in college basketball. I mean, really, I mean, is there anybody you're taking over Cal when it comes to recruiting?
No, heck no. You see what happened? Like, everyone thought Kenny Payne was this master recruiter, and then he goes to Louisville and can't get anybody. I mean, it is a different situation, but I think Cal is easily the best recruiter in the country. I
agree. But I think when it comes to late game decisions and X's and O's, Coach Cal is not a top coach in college basketball. And I'm talking about a long shot. And that's the problem. I mean, here's the deal. You know, what's that say? Is that you can have the Jims and Joes, but you got to have the X's and O's. You know, I mean, you got to be able to. It's great to have elite players. It is great to have elite players, but you have to be able to coach them and develop them. And I mean, this is what frustrates me more than anything. When you see the same issues arise again and again and again and again, and they're coachable things, and they don't get better.
They don't change
game to game. That, and it's not like there's, okay, here's the change, and it didn't work. I would at least be okay with that. We tried to do this, we tried to change this, and it didn't work out. I'd be okay with that. I would be. But
that's the definition of insanity.
Doing the same thing over and over again without changing. I love saying that to people. I love it's my favorite quote to know. I love that. But
yeah, I was gonna bring this up. So defensively, we're pretty terrible. And so I looked at some numbers, and we are 312th against the pick and roll. That's just one.
That's like 40 schools behind us.
One screen And it shows, because you see our players getting lost all the time. And I don't understand it at all. Here's what I don't understand. Why in the world do the big men stay out on the 3-point line with the other team's big men?
Yeah.
EK can't shoot a three. Why are we going out and guarding him out there with Ugo? Because you know what's going to happen? EK is going to take you off the dribble and beat you off the dribble. That's what's going to happen.
He can dribble. He can't. I don't believe he can shoot. I didn't look at the numbers on that. But here's the deal. You know, there are some big men in the SEC who can't shoot. You know, not a ton.
Exactly. And see, that's a game-to-game scouting situation.
Exactly. Exactly. EK is not a guy who's going to rain down threes. He's just, I mean, you know, so stay down there. Don't go out there. When you go out there, you are making that happen.
And guess what? That also helps that we're terrible at
the
offensive rebounding. Gonzaga had 18 offensive rebounds. So if you know the center on the other team can't shoot or isn't a great 3-point shooter, like they might hit one out of five, you know, but if they're not shooting over 30% from three, there's no reason to go out there and contest that when you can stay down and hunker down and get a rebound. 18 offensive rebounds for Gonzaga is ridiculous, and that is definitely a difference in the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Now, to be fair, EK is shooting 40%, 38% on the year from three, but he's only shot like
five. On attempts. Yeah, so if he's only shooting five, guess what? That means he doesn't trust his shot. So.
He shot six against Purdue. What must have happened that he shot six threes against Purdue?
Hey, guess what? They probably left him, and who won that game probably?
Purdue did by 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's shot 13 threes the whole season. So that's
and
not –
And see, that was just an example. You know, that it's a game-to-game basis.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that he wasn't, like, shooting 52% on 138 attempts. You know what I mean? I wanted to make sure before.
Well, I mean, look at the game. Where did he have all of his points in the paint?
Yeah, down low. And he dominated. He so good down low.
He looked like PJ Washington against this. Like,
and that's what frustrates me. Why can't you have a big guy like that? A big guy who can move his shoulders quick. And I mean, you know, it's great. We have Bradshaw and Ivicic who can shoot the three. Awesome. Who cares?
They provide no physicality.
Exactly. I want a guy who can turn his back turn away from the rim and make the defender look silly and score.
And the thing about guys like that too is they're fluid. Like I feel like
our guys, that's not who their hands
aren't good. Ivicic is pretty fluid. He's different than Bradshaw and Ugo. I just feel like they don't really – their hands aren't good. They're not fluid. They don't really know what they're doing all the time. You know, it's just – I don't know.
Let me throw something else at you. What did you see in the first half from Bradshaw and Big Z that makes you go, huh, yeah, let's roll with Bradshaw over Z in the second half?
Nothing.
Bradshaw has not been great.
Bradshaw in a big game is virtually just fouls.
Yeah. And Big Z, I mean, what did he have in that game again? I mean, it wasn't like – I think he had 7 points, right? Let me pull up.
I know he hit a three.
Yeah. He had 7 points, 1 of 3 from the field, 3 rebounds, 1 of 1 from deep. I mean, he's not – you know what I mean? He's getting to the free throw line. He's making his free throws. I don't know what else you can ask from him. Yeah. Now, his defense – here's the deal. And this is what I'm arguing. His defense is not great, but whose is? Neither is Bradshaw's.
Ugo is probably our best defensive big. But
yeah, but he's not really good at defense. He's good at blocking shots. You know what I mean?
Like, you're right. You're right. But he does provide more rebounding. So I just throw that in there too.
I agree with you. But, I mean, here's the deal. He can't play 20 minutes. And the guy I would have going in and over him would be Big Z. And I think Z played a couple minutes in the second half. But, like, Bradshaw went in first. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Coach Cal said in his presser, he's like, I'm going to play the best guys. And no, you didn't.
Here's another thing with lineups and that whole situation. I just don't believe you can have Justin Edwards and Adu out there at the same time.
Yeah.
Adu played
so good though.
Yeah. God, no, Adu was the major bright spot for this team for that game. But You can't play them both at the same time because they're virtually almost the same player.
Yeah, but Adu's much, much, much.
Yeah, Adu's a much, much better version.
So, I mean, Carson, do you have any other thoughts on this? I mean, on this clutch stuff. I mean, I don't know what else you can say. I mean,
To bring up this fact, too, and I know I was talking to you about it, but in the same time span, opponents have had 21 chances against us to take the lead or to tie it in clutch situations. They're 15 of 21. That is absurd.
Is that real? Are you kidding?
Yes. It's the same stats from Stephen Peake over at, I think he's a KSR guy.
It's
abysmal. Like, how does that even come across? And some more X's and O's type things. So our last play was that lob to Adu. What I saw is over the internet and stuff, every time we run that box set, it's always a backdoor alley-oop. Always. So a little bit of scouting and coach preparation shows you that that's the play we're going
to
run.
Well, and, you know, it was Cal said, well, Reed is supposed to be there for the three. You know, I mean, Reed has to, I mean, I think it's so much easier to, this is what's easier to me, have a player drive, and if there's nothing there, have some guys for a kick out. That to me is, I mean, you know, and then try and get fouled. Think if a dude made a layup and got fouled.
And not to mention, Ugo like rolled whenever he did the screen or whatever.
And he brought
his defender down in the paint with him. Like, talk about a clogged lane when you're trying to get a dunk. Like, what, so the dude's gonna have to jump over five people to dunk a game winner? Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't like that play call at all. I mean,
no.
But I mean, when it comes to the clutch shots, I mean, here's the deal. No one here is going to be yelling at Coach Cal if Kentucky gets a good look and misses.
Yeah.
If Reed Sheppard gets – and I'm not saying open. I'm saying a good look.
Like I said, I would have been fine with anything Dillingham threw up in that situation. Like, you got to get the ball to the players that can make those plays. That's all that this is about.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, I mean, Carson, you got any other stuff on Coach Cal, on the clutch stuff? I mean, I think I'm good there.
Yeah, no, I'm good. And also, again, you know, we're harping on Cal. We're not saying he should be fired by any means.
No way. That's not what we're saying.
This is also a time where we as fans need to support the team almost even more. Instead of bringing them down. Bringing them down is just going to cause everything to unravel and our season to spiral. It's not going to help anything. The tournament's not won in February. It's February 12th. Tournament's not won right now.
Yeah.
There's been some magic tournament runs from many different teams who have struggled throughout the season. So this season by no means is over. There's definitely areas where we can improve and get better. So all I'm saying is continue to support this team and root for them because – they can still do something special. We have talent. We just need to get a little better on the defensive end to make that work.
A lot. But yes, you're right. But I mean, what I'm getting at here is, you know, everybody, you know, we care about sports. This is our livelihood. We yell at the TV. It's part of it. It's what we do. But, you know, you got to remember, this is not, if you want to go yell at Christian McCaffrey for that fumble, he can handle it. Go yell at Christian McCaffrey. That's fine. Yelling at some of these 18 and 19 year olds, it's just not right. And on top of that, you know, you got, and I mean, like, you know, I mean, we have to sit here. You're allowed to say X, Y, and Z didn't play well. Now, that's fine. Because that's reality. I understand that. But I just think, you know, keep it to, this guy hasn't met expectations. This guy hasn't played well. Don't get personal. And the last thing I'll say is, I mean, you know, those fans that are yelling on Twitter, that are yelling everywhere, you're the same fans, you know, who are going to be sitting glued to the TV tomorrow night watching Kentucky play Ole Miss. That is going to have their next day, their mood depend on if they win.
You'll be the same fans with tears of joy when we bring home number 9 at some point. So
exactly. And so what I'm getting at here is, you know, you can be upset, but you got to support this team because we know you, if you're being upset is understandable. It is. But you, even when you're angry about a team or angry at Cal, you still want them to win a national championship. So if you want them to win a national championship, the way to make that happen is not to yell and post, "This guy sucks" on Twitter or fire
and
Cal.
Go after players and that all this help. Nonsense.
What helps that is supporting help. This team to the very end. That's what helps. So, you know, and that, so it's the same. That's what I'm saying, Carson. It's the same fans that yell and gripe on social media that are going to be glued to that TV sitting there, you know, teeth chattering when it's a close game and want Kentucky to win. So I just remember that. Keep it into perspective, folks. I mean, these are young student athletes trying to make a name for themselves, working hard to represent University of Kentucky the best they can. So just remember that. You know, we've all been guilty of it, is what I'm saying. I mean, it's no, I'm not saying that we, Carson and I, are better than, I'm just saying we've all been there, but we got to remember that we got to keep that perspective. So Carson, I mean, let's quick get into this Ole Miss game. That wasn't really, we didn't want to get deep into Ole Miss today, but I'm going to run through the numbers. Ole Miss is 60th in KenPom, 31st in adjusted offense, 132nd in adjusted defense, 58th in the net rankings. They're 2-4 in quad one games. Looking at Kentucky's numbers update there, they're 27th in KenPom, 5th in adjusted offense, 124th in adjusted defense, and 25th in the net rankings. So, Carson, Ole Miss comes to town, 18-5. ESPN's matchup predictor gives the Cats 83.3% chance to win this game. Ole Miss, let me pull the numbers. They score 76.4 points per game, 34 rebounds, 15.7 assists, 8.4 steals, a lot of steals, a lot of blocks. So they turn six blocks. They turn opponents over. They turn the ball over 10 times a game. They're shooting 45.9% from the field and 38.7% from three. Carson, give me just, I mean, rattle on us. Give me your thoughts on this game. Give me a score prediction. Give me an MVP. Couple minutes. I'll give you a couple minutes and we'll get on out of here.
Yeah, to be honest, this game's a scary game because this is urgent territory because you're reaching the depths of never happened before.
Yeah.
If you lose this one, you lost four in a row at home. And I can double check, but I don't think that's ever been done.
Three in a row. You didn't see that?
Three in a row, 67.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
But first time in route.
Yeah. But four in a row, I don't think that's ever been done.
Yeah.
But they're an older team. They have a bunch of transfers. Alan Flanagan played at Auburn, and Brakefield, he came from Duke. Both those guys are very good, and they're a physical team. And the fact that they shoot over 35% from three is a little scary since we aren't very good at defending the three.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling they'll do a lot of pick and roll action and try to get their shooters open after beating our man off the pick and roll for the first time. So it's going to be a tough game. We're going to have to play physical. I think Adu needs to play probably 35 minutes in this game. I think Adu has carved out a role to be our X factor. I like Trey Mitchell and he's hurt. So like, that's a bummer. And he didn't play against Gonzaga and he's not, you know, it's tough because he played so well at the beginning of the season, but he has not been as good in the SEC play. And I think that's because teams are more athletic and more physical than what he's used to. And I think that's where Adu will fit right in. And that's not saying Trey doesn't deserve minutes because he definitely does. He's a great player, but I think Adu needs a lot more minutes in this game. And I think we're really, really going to have to focus on being more physical, and you have to start fighting through screens. The seal out happened again. The seal outs were happening again in that game. And our big man were just standing there. You have to fight through that because those are easy baskets that teams are getting against us. And it seems like we don't even try to fight through anything. We're just letting them go by us and then hoping someone's going to help on that weak side. So you have to play way more physical and you have to guard your man. And I mean, the offense, we can't really talk about the offense is good. I mean,
yeah.
All I'd say about the offense is Rob needs to play more than 4 minutes in the second half.
I'm not going to fight you on that.
Yeah, but offense is not really the discussion topic because they're fine. But the defense, you have to guard your man, and you have to put a body on someone when the ball goes up. Because 18 offensive rebounds, you'll lose almost every game letting up 18 offensive rebounds.
And Flanagan's a lefty. Don't forget that. We saw that against Radford at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Don't push him to his – don't make him go to his left, because he would appreciate that. But, I mean, they got some good guards. Flanagan's a good player. He's really taken a step this year at Ole Miss from what he was at Auburn. Morrell,
he's an athletic freak. He's an athletic freak.
He can jump. He's a good player. I mean, he's a good player. Morrell's a really good player who can shooting almost 40% from three. They got that 7'5" kid from WKU, Sharp. Yep. I wonder if he's going to play. I know we missed a couple. That'll be interesting, because it'll be weird to see how they deal with that. Him and Z.
Honestly, Sharp is – I think it's a good matchup for us, because he doesn't provide any physicality.
He doesn't. But I'll tell you this. I watched them play once. He actually looked really good.
Yeah, no, he was good. We played them. We played WKU.
I remember that. Yeah,
when he was there, and he played good. I mean, Oscar dominated him, but it's Oscar, you know. But he'll definitely provide shot blocking. We're gonna have to push the pace against him when he's in the game. But he doesn't really provide any physicality at all. So you just box him out, and you'll be all right.
Yeah. He was a game time decision, Sharp was, against South Carolina. That game was on the 6th. So that means that they had Saturday off. Yes, right? Yes, they had Saturday off. So with him being, you got to figure he's going to play in this game. So that'll be interesting. Carson, you give me a score prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I think he's going to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go – I think Adu's going to be the player of the game. I'm going to go Kentucky 91, Ole Miss 87. I think it's going to be a close come down to the wire game. And I think I hope we'll figure it out at the end. It would be nice to see us hit one of those clutch shots, you know.
I've been saying this in the press box all year. I've never had a team I support ever in my entire life hit a buzzer beater. Not once. I've never seen it. I've always wanted to see that happen. Never have seen it. So I mean,
I've seen it on the other end. I've been witness to a bunch of the other ones.
Yeah.
But never my team.
Exactly. But so you know, I have 81-79. I don't know why I think this is between. I just have this weird feeling this is not gonna be. I mean, we're talking a difference in 8 points from what you, it's not like I'm saying it's gonna be 62-68. But I have 81-79, Kentucky winning this game. But I mean, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if Kentucky loses this game. I wrote this at Wildcats today. This is the definition of a must win. I'm gonna be honest with you. If you don't win this game, we're talking you're working your way into bubble territory. And I know folks are gonna say, well, I mean, here's the deal. You still have trips to Auburn coming up on Saturday. That's gonna be a tough game to win. You gotta go to Baton Rouge on Wednesday. You gotta host Bama, who I think is really good. You got to go to Mississippi State, and then you got to go to Knoxville. There's only two, to me, guaranteed wins left on this, and that's Arkansas and Vandy. And Arkansas is still a team who I do believe if they, you know, I mean, if they fall, you never know. So, I mean, listen, you got to start winning some games, or we could be watching the NIT, which would be, I mean, the worst thing that ever happened.
And, the only thing keeping us from bubble territory right now is the North Carolina win.
Yeah. So seriously, I mean, this is a must-win game. This is a must-win game. I think if you win this one, maybe win one, you're probably not supposed to beat Vandy, beat Arkansas, you're fine. I think you're going to slip some seed lines, but that's my thoughts there. So MVP. I think it's due time for another 28 burger from old Reeves. I think he plays well. What did he have against Gonzaga? He didn't have a huge game, did he?
No, he didn't.
I will say this.
I think the two biggest numbers, and you'll be able to look after the game, the box score. This is what I think. Box score, the two biggest categories for this game for us to win. You got to win the turnover battle. You got to have less turnovers than they do because they're a fast-paced team too. So that's a key, and you have to win offensive rebound. Or if you don't win, you have to be within one or two. You can't lose by eight.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. So my MVP is Reeves. I think the Cats win this one 81-79. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a must win for this Kentucky basketball team. Carson, got anything else for us?
No, that's it. And like, you know what I said, just keep supporting the guys. Like, yeah, stick with them. You know, just support them. It's still Kentucky. Like, they're still representing us. And yeah, we're fans. You know, we're going to act crazy. And Coach Cal, you know, people are upset with Coach Cal. Coach Cal's brought us some of the happiest times we've had here. You know, you're telling me that guy can't figure it out. He can figure it out. Now, it might not happen, but I believe in him, and I believe in this team. And I think we can still do something special. And I'm not convinced we can't. You know, we have the firepower. We have the players. We just have – our players just have to buy in. And I'm excited to see what happens at the end of the season.
Yeah. I am with you on that. Well, that is going to do it for today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. We'll be coming to you either on Wednesday or on Thursday to preview the Auburn game. I'll be heading down to the Plains for that one. Should be a fun one. Really looking forward to that. But we will bring you an Auburn preview and break down whatever happens tomorrow against Ole Miss either on Wednesday or Thursday. We hit 200 subscribers, so thank you so much for that. Really, really means a lot. Keep helping us grow. Keep pounding that subscribe button. It really does mean a lot. And don't forget, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them, we're there. So that is.
Yeah. You know, and if you have a friend or a family member or something that you think would enjoy this, share it to them too.
Yeah. You know? Let them know. Word of mouth. Love it. Love the old word of mouth. But like I said, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all so much for tuning in every single day. It really does mean the world to us. And we will see you next time.